Street Beach Town Council and Planning and Zoning in order.
Y'all move up here to the table, guys.
From a technical point of view, when we raise the issue, we don't have a form here. We probably would. And the answer that you threw here was not.
Second.
Mr. Oliver?
All in favor?
I mean, do we need a form?
They asked, and they think they need a form. We have the chairman and the other guy that talks the most, so, I mean, excuse me.
I'll wait until this is just a work session, and I'm going to reset.
But if they're meeting as a.
They're meeting for what?
Public body.
Yeah, we're meeting tonight.
I mean, we're just looking for guidance, I think, and, you know, to raise a few issues about what are we here for?
You gave us the wrong place, those guys lost it.
Do they need a forum in?
They're not going to do anything like that.
They were just talking.
We should have changed that motion to informal meeting.
Yes.
Gentlemen, would y'all like to start? And give us your concerns and questions?
Yes. Well, again, we were assigned the Sawyer, you know, again, that this is kind of the old document for planning. And again, planning and zoning, I mean, I think we've got a lot of skills to look at different ordinances. I mean, you've got zoning issues, you've got landscape issues, you've got signage issues, you've got a whole bunch of stuff. And when you start reading through this, you realize that there are a lot of different presentations in here. You know, for example, for just the executive summary right here. And this, you know, they talk about proposed streetscapes and landscaping improvements. They talk about street signage replacements, which obviously we're working on. They're talking about overhead utilities below ground, pavement modifications. Well, in fact, each one of the categories right here, for example, it says modified parking and height limits. Well, you know, it says these properties, however, can be developed as small boutique-type hotels or ground floor businesses with residents above. Well, to do that, to encourage that, we're talking about an overlay district in some form-based type of planning that's going to have something to do with that. They talk about then in promote a balanced inventory of overnight accommodations, vacation stay in hotel rooms are more reliant on local businesses. Well, you know, we could maybe look at some things that would encourage hotels and motels, you know, ask for the recommendation right here. Again, develop a town center, enhance the B1 streetscape. We've talked about that in terms of street signage, broader boardwalks, pavement modifications. Develop an increased marketing business involvement efforts, you know, in terms of marketing. Well, you can't really market anything until you've got a product. You know, one of those basic things. I mean, we certainly have a product right now, but when you talk about enhancing the marketing of it, clearly we want to have a product. In fact, I just came down from Williamsburg up there. You know, it's gorgeous. I mean, their streetscapes are beautiful. Their signage is very, very attractive.
So you think if we got the rock to go to buy the town, we could get that?
Get Williamsburg.
I don't think we have the rock to go. Well, that's how Williamsburg got there.
Yeah, I know. That's what I know.
Then, you know, just quickly, when you go into the body of this, if you look at the streetscape, you know, the streetscape recommendations right here, you can just go down the whole list on page 37, talking about sidewalk, building orientation, consistency of design elements, public art, landscaping of building fronts, screening of service loading areas from public view, screening of mechanical equipment.
But y'all cover most of that now, don't you?
There's a lot of this that we have, and clearly we can.
Well, let me ask y'all, when you're both here, what do you see as your role as P&Z?
Let me just point out one last thing here, and then I'll answer that. When you jump to page 44, they talk about uses. For example, I mean, they also talk about going into form-based zoning on page 44. They also talk about the list of uses within the B1 district needs to be purged of all uses with a regional focus. You know, again, when we have uses in our zoning, it's basically based on SIC codes. I mean, that's really how it is. And it's sort of SIC code listing you would find for what the city of Wilmington or for a county. You know, it's clearly not a you know, as they recommend. So I think all we're suggesting here is that probably about 80% of what I just talked about really would fall under the purview of planning and zoning. Okay, I mean, we could deal with streets, you know, or sign ordinances. We could deal with form-based planning. We could deal with overlay districts. We could look at the zoning and make it more of a local versus regional thing. Maybe even do away completely with the SIC code approach, the industry approach, and look at it more, you know, some other mechanism by simply descriptions of what sort of businesses we may want to have here as per the suggestion. We can't do it all at one time. So the only thing I was suggesting is some sort of a priority that you might direct us as to which of the things, when we look at this whole document, that you think would be most important, so we can take things in order. Now, obviously, we've got a very good head start on the signage issue. But even then, reading this, they suggest a different set of signage requirements for the different, you know, that the central B1 have a different type of signage versus the hotels and motels. I mean, that's actually one of the recommendations. We haven't done that in our sign ordinance. We're kind of looking at it one whole thing. But we are fairly far down the road on the sign ordinances, but almost everything else in here we just kind of talked about and, you know, haven't pursued. So, you know, I think what we're looking for in terms of direction is, of all the things in here, which do you see as kind of the highest priority that you want to move quicker on?
Well, now the sign ordinance and things y'all working on, and a lot of that was good work, but that was basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, kind of put in neutral because of the economic slowdown. Now, where are y'all at with that? What else have you accomplished that you did not bring to us before?
It's not so much a neutral because of the economic slowdown. There was a concern primarily about the amortization process.
Yeah.
That clearly was the thing that... and so what we did is we are in the process of doing an inventory of the signs to really see which signs out there would be affected by this sort of thing. We also kind of extended the amortization in terms of the recommendation. It's still kind of sitting there, but we're probably pretty close to bringing it to voting on it.
Well, Alan, you're down at Tom's occasionally. And then
you're sure not.
No, not as much as him. I don't shut the open shut my
mouth.
Yeah. I drive by and see your truck and your name on and the last time I talked to him, he was, you know, still a little upset over the sign ordinances, and he didn't want people to tell him how, you know, how to advertise and put the signs up that he wanted to put up. Now, are y'all far enough along, and is there some way that the amortization that could be tweaked that they would give them a longer period of time? You've got it, what, 7 years now?
Seven years, and what we put into something actually with Myrtle Beach stuff. You know, I checked with Myrtle Beach about a month ago, and they realized that they had to clean up their whole signs. North Myrtle Beach still has a problem. Myrtle Beach now has a very strict sign ordinance.
Yeah.
All the digital signs they shut off and everything like that. They have a 5-year amortization. It might be a 7-year. But what they've done is they said that if you're the original property owner, you can apply like for a 1-year extension or something like that. So I think that's what we talked about.
We did 7 years plus 3 years. You can do a
plus three-year extension.
Well, plus 10 years.
And,
right.
And you, when you discuss this, just using Tom as an example, where is he at with that?
Well, they were all in here.
Well,
I remember.
They were all.
But he's the most vocal down there, so I mean.
Well, he's also probably the most neck, too.
He's the most what?
He could be a little neck. I mean, the problem, I think, that, you know, the sign on this is not just for the being honest, it's the look of the town. And they feel like we're trying to harm them by having conforming signs. And signs that are not 35 foot tall. And, you know, when everybody talks about all the millions of people that drive past the pier to go to the aquarium, well, you know, a nice streetscape and sidewalks and nice signage might make people stop.
Well, let me ask another question.
So, I mean, we have different views. The business owners look at it strictly as, well, I've got to replace my sign in 10 years, that's not.
Well, and just the two of you. Are you getting the support from council you think you need?
I think that, well, I think there's two things. One is the sign ordinance when it came through last time. What was presented and what people were here so vocal about really wasn't what we were proposing. They had gotten an earlier version that had different elements in it and stuff like that. You know, so that was kind of an unfortunate thing. I think what we did is we got through the prohibited signs, which is very important, and I think there was a lot of support in the council. I mean, that now is our ordinance, we do have prohibited signs, which does protect the city and the town from, you know, some very negative type of signs. What we're trying to do now is trying to, I mean, really follow, and certainly this report right here clearly says streetscape is very important. Signage is a very important part of that in terms of creating that streetscape. So that's going to require...
Oh, there's a quarrel.
There you go. That's going to require signage, and if we're going to these other things, form-based planning, all that sort of thing, in a way that will require the local business community to create over a long period of time.
So to make some
concrete, to make it prettier. I mean, that's
to make some concrete steps forward in this deal.
Absolutely.
You know, this is something that y'all need to continue to work on. And I think we just got off to a bad start last time because there were too many.
Well, look at the first time. I mean, I was glad to see the last meeting that, you know, Tom and Mike, and we set business on to show up at a P&T meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some input. I mean, when we left it, you know, one of the questions was, well, what's the tallest sign in the town? So we didn't have that answer. So by going to an 18-foot sign, limited to 18 feet, there could be some signs out there that are 18-foot-6, 19 feet. So what would be the difference if we raised them to 19-foot and created less non-conforming signs? So that was kind of the process we're doing now. John's supposed to measure all the height and kind of figure out.
When did you give him the task of measuring?
It was at the last meeting.
Last month.
Okay. Well, he did a ballpark measure probably close to a year ago right now.
Right.
So that came up. He didn't get up on a ladder and measure every single one.
They knew the exact height.
And so last month that was, you know, in order to answer these questions, really, so they could be 6 inches off or 2 off, you really need to have an exact
measure. What did you do, Mike?
I think
I'm asking the ones I can get to. Happy to be a looking day, and some of them I can get the same measure up there too.
Likely story.
Yep. They're pretty good ballparks, but they asked me to go back and measure some of them. Non-conformities again. I've got some of those done. I don't have all.
There's probably 4 or 5, maybe 3 signs out there that would be non-conforming according to
make your work easier. You want you want an accurate measure.
Well, we got business owners asking us, well, you know, I think my sign's 18 foot 2 inches, so does that mean I have to, is it non-conforming? Well, I guess technically by the book it would be, but,
I mean, so
it doesn't make it easier for them. The bottom line is when we're to put this ordinance into effect, I'll have to go out there and measure each one.
We got the means to do that at our disposal. If that's what y'all need done, then...
I think that's kind of the only sticky part. I personally, you know, I've probably reviewed now 150 ordinances and signs. Well, we're proposing a 7-year amortization plus a 3-year extension if the property owner is the same. That can't pass, you know. That's about as lenient as you can get. That would be as lenient as any sign that's out there right now in terms of amortization.
And does it still include the part about no messages?
Media boards.
Yeah, because, I mean...
Well, I think we have Jake O'Connor. Yeah, we have Jake O'Connor. We have a lot of
complaints. That was one of the sticking points that I didn't agree with, because herself puts all these little catchphrases up. I enjoy seeing them.
We changed a lot from when I was sitting over there in the last meeting we came to. It was a lot less adversary the last meeting we were at.
Right.
And the business owners that were there in the position they are now in P&Z were actually saying, I think we like this.
Okay.
Let's move forward and let's see, is it really 18-2? And if it is 18 feet 2 inches, where do we go from here instead of slap my hand?
For some dirt.
Yeah, slap my hand in.
Let me ask you a question.
Barry has a question. Barry.
Well, this is not related to science.
So,
why do we have to
do this? Because we need to move on. I think we've got the sign issue.
No, no.
I mean, we're going to make the highest sign as the best part.
I wouldn't say that. What we need to do is get an accurate measurement so we can have a debate.
Does the council need to vote on something in order for y'all to get an accurate measurement?
No.
There's nothing the council holding up on that. What's the hold up on that? What do we need to do to get an accurate measurement?
Hello, John.
I'm already working on that, sir.
Okay. When do you think you'll have it finished? We have to think about your meeting tonight. Okay.
What are you doing here?
See, that, I mean, this is what we need to do. Is you know, if there's,
if that's a priority,
I think that once we have an after measurement, we can have a debate on P&Z, and we probably have a vote whether it's to extend it so nobody has to change their sign, or simply capture three people that would have 10 years to change their sign. And
so, is this related to? I know when I was on P&Z, there were, somebody was working on an inventory of the existing signs as far as their square footage and all. Okay, so this is part and parcel of the same thing. So what we need to do is find out the biggest, ugliest sign in town that would set the standard for nonconformance, and let y'all see if you're going to be north of that.
We have a legislation or
something. Lucky for me. Okay, so the signage thing is Regina.
That's clearly all the things in here, that's the one we're furthest on. We jumped on that, as you well know, about a year and a half ago.
Jim, can you touch base with Sonny and see if John can use the bucket truck and one of these guys to get this done so they can proceed with what one of the priorities are?
I mean, just get it to you. I mean, it's been languishing. And as long as it's languished, quite frankly, as long as it's languished, somebody can go stick a 30-foot sign. So, you know, there is a danger of leaving the stuff sitting there because we you know, see, people can buy a sign that would be very attractive.
So, asking the question another way, if John gives you the inventory of signs in time for your July meeting,
we can vote.
Will you have a proposed ordinance for us to, can we, at our July meeting, schedule a public hearing on a proposed sign ordinance?
We probably could have voted last time other than the issue of
Okay.
exact measurement of the signs.
Right. So we're going to put down that by August, the sign thing will be done.
Okay, when you read this, okay, this is the kind of document, I will guarantee that when you read this and you look at their proposals, they are proposing a very strict sign ordinance, stricter than what we are suggesting. I mean, there's no question about it. They're talking about attractive signing, probably exterior lit signing, you know, monument type of signing and all that sort of thing. That's what they're proposing. And that's why I think that it was important to have this meeting, is that if this becomes a guiding document, what we want to review to look at, this has to be supported by both consensus, but primarily by ordinances. Okay, that's how this is going to happen. And, you know, if in fact this is what we want to do, do we want to go back and go to originally our original concept, which is a more strict version, which is really fitting into more what this says right here? You know, monument signs, what we had talked about, 8-foot signs, monument signs, exterior lit signs, no changeable copy signs, or I think changeable copy maybe for hotels, because that's some cities do that just for hotels, they don't changeable copy. So that's one issue, that if we really are trying to follow this, do you want us to revisit the sign back to what we originally had prior to the public meeting? Second thing is that, you know, there's other things in here that we need to prioritize. Signs were long, we've had the discussion and so forth, but there's a lot of other things in here that we could be tasked also for planning. So,
personally, okay, I think the overland districts and the form base are probably need to be prioritized high up on the list. That's my own personal feeling. Now, I don't know about the rest of the council, but what you're saying here about the sign is we're going back to square one.
We need guidance.
I thought Jim had said that we were going to have a ordinance to vote on at the July meeting.
We can have the ordinance that is currently in the works, which now has raised the, you know, the height to 18 feet. Okay, 18 feet from our original concept of 8 feet. It has exterior lit signs in it versus interior versus what they recommend exterior lit.
What concerns me, Craig, is that we are letting best be the enemy of good. And if, you know, what your concern is that while we're trying to decide how far we ratchet back from that document or how far we ratchet forward from it, somebody could come in and put a sign that nobody...
That is a serious concern.
So if, I'm going back to what I said before. I think what we should do is get what you need from John, get us an ordinance that protects us at least from the most egregious offenses, and then at some point, you know, we can take the time to go forward and either get closer to that, if that's what the consensus is, or decide that we're not going to do that. But in the meantime, we'll at least have taken an acceptable step that affords us the protection that we think we need.
We'll have something in place that we can add on to at some later point in time.
Okay. I mean, that's why we're here today, to talk about getting that guidance. Versus trying to create, which you could probably do in about 3 months. We could go back to our original thing and kind of create a site ordinance that really
fits with what we do. Let's go ahead and close our doors that we need to get closed now, because we can revisit this at some later point in time, I think.
Not only if it becomes problematic, but I think
much of our work on it. If it does become problematic, then we can
revisit it. It suits us.
We've been working on it 2 years.
We've been waiting no measurements for 2 years, I guess. Your remark about how often I'm at Jack Michaels, I don't have my name on bar glasses. Someone
well, yes, you do.
Unless they broke them all.
I think they did.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, do I have a stool? I would say the other two things that are clearly in the area of planning zone, because landscaping, there's other committees that deal with landscaping. There's certainly a lot to be done here. One is the changing the use, the zoning, looking at use. There's another one, too, is that the zoning map that's out there, plus our description of zoning is off. It's messed up.
Let me throw out a question while you're on that subject. John, you still awake?
Hey.
How problematic, when y'all are sitting down with some P&Z stuff, particularly B1, is it the problem with the fire district? Is that something that needs to be readdressed because the certain buildings that are in the fire district and they fall under a different portfolio?
Well, we haven't had anybody come up with building a new building. I think if anything ever redevelops, then yes.
But would that open the door to make it easier for somebody to come to us with a new building?
Absolutely, if you didn't have the building.
But bottom line, state mandates that you have a fire district, and normally it is within the downtown district.
But it doesn't necessarily have
to. That was just a thought that I had, sorry.
Usually it doesn't have to be. Everybody's had it out on the park or something.
Well, I think some might. It depends on the town. It depends how densely populated the town center is. If it's got a lot of residential, Bar Stewart has, then I think that would be an issue.
Well, why don't we do this? Is there something that Harold has some input on?
You may have the attorney has more input than anybody else.
The attorney?
I haven't seen him in a fire suit lately.
I mean, right now, the buildings down there don't really conform to that.
That was what I was trying to get to. Is that the hodgepodge and mess that... I mean, is that something that...
I agree with almost everything in here. Not everything, but it's hard to not agree with, boy, if your TV looks like this.
Mm-hmm. Great.
The question is how to get from where we're at now to look something like this. And clearly, you've got a couple things going on. You've got... if there was undeveloped land, if there was kind of turnover of business property, commercial properties, where you could have these new ordinances and new things have to be built according to this design and this attractive design here and stuff like that, you'd probably have a quicker establishment of the sort of thing that we want to have here. We don't have that here. So you've got another thing where you've got a couple property owners simply say that, I'm not going to do anything, and it's going to stay that way for another 40, 50 years.
Which we have no control.
Well, we do.
There are some elements in here in terms of incentives that can be created.
There's a couple things that we can do. There are things in our existing ordinances now that we could identify violations of and make some improvements. It's a question of, do we want to do that? But I think Craig, what he just said about the incentives, I know one of the things that had been talked about a while ago is participating in the Main Street program. And I think that Michelle was working on submitting an application for us to become a Main Street community, and that opens up grant facade grants to us so that we could get a grant for Mike or Tommy or somebody to improve the facade of their buildings and work on that. So where are we with the Main Street program?
It dropped on Michelle.
It was also a PowerPoint with the Economic Development Committee. Someone came in and did a presentation.
Right, and I think that's where I heard Michelle saying she was taking
this. Yeah, this form, there was form-based at the Economic Development Committee, there was overlay, there was all of those elements were in the Economic Development Committee.
And the flip side of it, if that were made available, would they actually...
Well, you know, I think there's two things, too, is that... And this really is out of the purview of PNC, but not out of the purview of what the board's talking about. If you can, they talk about art, you know, community art, you know, they talk about landscape, they talk about, you know, just make them more attractive. There's a lot of things I think that could be done to make that area more attractive without changing the buildings in terms of just putting up, just an example, putting up a statue. You know,
streetscape,
you know, that sort of thing. That may encourage them to say, my goodness, this is going up, it's going to raise the value of my properties. You know, either they may sell it or they may encourage to get, try to bring the property up to the standards of the...
Try to find a spot for the three recycle trash cans out front of Fudge Joe's.
Well, I mean, the streetscape that Sawyer has in there, which North Carolina State almost copied the exact, I mean, you know, but... Is that something y'all want to work on? I mean, that's going to be removing some parking spaces down there and putting in some trees.
Well, I mean, would trees encourage, would that be, it's not a financial incentive, but in a way it is. You know, I mean, if you put trees and you put a statue down there and put park benches and, you know, create this whole, you know, look down there that would be a very, very attractive look, would that create an incentive for the local commercial business owners to maybe improve their properties? I think it would.
Well, my friend
is all that part of the part of what the oceanfront part is to do?
No, well, partially, but...
Isn't it part of that?
This was ongoing before the oceanfront part, but when the oceanfront part moves forward, I think this, particularly the streetscape he had there, should be phased too.
The other thing, I mean, there was a lot of stuff in the Economic Development Committee that Alan Basis came and did a presentation, and he talked about creating a nonprofit, similar to what they did at the Boardwalk Bingo. And they got together with the chamber, and they put on events, and they raised money, and that's how they did the Boardwalk. They put trees in, they paid the park benches. You know, why couldn't this town do the same thing and put nice park benches in, put some trash cans in that are painted by art? Maybe, you know, if you raise enough money, you can fix the sidewalks down. Maybe you can make it a pedestrian-friendly place.
Didn't they also have to encourage and enlist the business owner down there to join in this?
They got volunteers. They have the business owner. They have
volunteers to do it.
I can't see how any business owner, for example, you know, we've got... Those pylons just going down the street right there. You got pylons. That's very unattractive. I mean, why would the pot plant there or something? You know, I mean, those are the sort of things that would, I think, encourage the business community. Because they're saying, why should I approve it when you put nothing else to get done?
The plan, our proposal when those pylons were put up was to put pot plants. But the DOT said no. That they wanted the orange pylons. Now, we do have, I think, the SLAP committee has been in touch with them to see if that they were put up when the street was first closed to food traffic. And they were concerned that people who for 40 years had driven straight across wouldn't see the planters, so they wanted the pylons. So now we've been in touch with them about replacing those pylons with planters, something that we're going to do. So those things are in the works.
Chuck, can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
We have to give up some parking spaces we don't want to, but it has to be 10 foot wide and so on. I've got restrictions, but they have already said yes.
So that's in the works, things like that. Let me get back to a P&Z thing. What is the impediment to starting to create an overlay district.
To create an overlay district, there's no impediment to that. I mean, you can create an overlay district pretty much in a month, probably. Why you're creating it would be the different issue in terms of if you're creating an overlay district then and building a form-based architectural design sort of thing, then establishing what those architectural standards would be, what the architectural design would be, those sort of things. If you're talking about form-based, we're talking probably about 6 months of hearing and work to be able to do that, which is clearly a P&Z issue. There's no question about it. And if that's your wish, we can get started on that, but that, we're not going to make that type of investment unless we feel that that's where you want to go.
Well, again, it's a question of do we want to wait to do anything until we do everything, or would there be some advantage to going ahead and at least having identified the most likely area for the overlay district.
We are done that, I think.
And then start out with some very minimal things that deal with some of the things in there, like in the overlay district, you know, how many curb cuts can you have? So we don't lose parking spaces. Are people in certain parts of the overlay district, and maybe, you know, we may have to have two different ones, would we require some additional landscaping, you know, and things like that you could go ahead and with, you know, get the thing laid out and get started on the incremental steps while at the same time looking at the ultimate part, which is the form-based zoning. That's going to take a lot longer, but at least we would be getting, you know, we could do some things in that overlay district that wouldn't take 6 months of hearing and study that would help achieve some of the goals in there. And I thought the council had said, yes, go ahead with it, and even there was supposed to be some interaction among the various committees to do that.
Well, we could certainly come up with one, two, or three different overlay districts. I mean, and we could talk about the logic of having more than one. I mean, clearly the central business district would be one, but then probably another may be the hotel, you know, strip on Fort Fisher. You know, it makes sense to have a different overlay district there because you might have different design elements or landscape elements or whatever. We can get started on that right away. I mean, we've already talked about that. And with the idea that long-term, maybe a form-based planning, but short-term, landscape is probably the easiest thing to deal with in terms of an overlay district because you can require simply different landscaping elements in the different overlay districts. That's probably the easiest thing to deal with as quickly as possible. So that's really doable. We can get started on the overlay district.
August, September?
Yeah, we could probably do that. Probably by August.
Sound is the first priority. This is second priority.
Second priority. Okay, the overlay district. Now, the third one, which I think is very, very important, is to come back. In fact, I was pleased because I missed it the first time, but we had a talk. I think John came in, I don't know, about 7 or 8 or 9 months ago or something like that, and said there was some talk about. You remember that there was some talk about one of the franchise operations moving down here?
Bojangles,
and that's it. That would be allowed under current use. A car dealership, you know, I mean, you can put a used car dealership down there under current use. And when there was a little bit of talk about that, and, you know, I know planning and zoning about, oh, what can we do? And that's when we actually first started talking about form-based planning. Because is a Bojangles bad? Because of Bojangles, or is it bad because of, you know, it looked like Bojangles versus being an attractive storefront? I think it's probably, and of course it's recommended here, that we should look seriously at zoning and uses of zoning. If you're trying to keep out car dealerships and wings and things like that, you know, that we might be able to do
video
that.
Cafes.
But we heard some of them. Well, water repair and stuff like that is taken out.
It's still pretty long. As they said, a more of a regional list rather than local. I mean, you could probably narrow down to one quarter of what's in here, and that would be more appropriate to what we would want.
So
that's something we can look at, but where's that in the priority list?
Well, would that work within the overlay district thing? I mean, would that kind of be part of the landscape overlay district?
I generally uses are within zoning, not overlay.
Well, but you could. One of the things that you do in an overlay district is the underlying zoning remains intact, but is modified.
Possibly. We need, that probably a legal issue on that one.
For example, in the Shaws, the state highway overlay districts on either side of the new I-145 pass, that land on either side of it, much of that stretch, certainly from I-40 to the river, is zoned industrial. But because it's in the Shaw, you can't put industrial things in there without additional screening and stuff like that, and you have to be further from the highway. So it is possible that you could say, okay, if we make the B1 district an overlay district, that within the overlay district, the following uses are not permitted. And so that way you shrink that list of sick uses. That's
another thing. That if it's, because the example you gave actually was a design thing. It's not used, but then put additional screening up. That's a design issue. If you can, if it's legally possible in an overlay district to have a separate set of uses different than the underlying zoning map, then that would be a very good way to get going on the overlay districts. Because then you can deal with landscape and use within an overlay district, and that's something we could probably talk about pretty quick. Where a form-based planning will take a lot of public meetings and a lot of debate on.
Is it something that we might be able to call Chris O'Keefe or somebody like that and get some guidance on?
I think it's just something, I just think that we probably need a legal opinion as to whether we can, in an overlay district, restrict uses that are allowable in the underlying zoning. I think that's probably key.
Would you like to draft that amendment and we would send it to the municipalities for their...
Well, we could.
And then be easy to see what it is.
It's something that could come out of here. We
could ask our attorney to research
it. I would say, do we send it?
Or we could ask Paul. We could actually ask the P&Z attorney to research it.
That's something that could come out of this meeting. Right now, somebody could communicate. So it would be possible to find out. Just that would help us in terms of...
Couldn't we ask Paul this evening at the meeting?
Sure.
Well, I would ask Paul also how many billable hours he might think he had there, because his bills are coming in pretty stiff.
Okay. He didn't bill his deer hit to city.
Hopefully nationwide I got that one.
You know what Mark Twain used to say? Never deal with a rich salesman or a poor attorney.
Well, those are the main issues I'm thinking about. You like Mark Twain a lot.
I love Mark Twain. I had one earlier that I referenced. Yeah. Here's one thing that I think has been on the list for a long time, and there's been a lot of dithering about it, is the overhead power lines.
And that's also in the report too.
I know, but here's the thing. I think there may be some progress by crossing things off of this. And it seems to me, in fact, the council asked y'all to come back to us with a summary of the issues around it. I think if we could identify the costs associated with burying the overhead power lines, that would drop way down on the list real fast, and we could stop talking about it. Because, for the past two or three years, every conversation we've had has involved burying the overhead power lines. And it ain't going to happen unless we either find out that it's not going to be very expensive, or we find some place to find a lot of money.
The problem with that is we've already had that meeting, and it's going to cost money to determine the cost. And that's
all right. But we asked, one of the things that we asked you to do, in fact, when we gave our list of assignments to the committees, we asked y'all for a one-page summary of the issues surrounding burying the overhead power lines, including what would be the cost of the engineering study, an estimated cost of the engineering study to do it. Because the thinking was if the engineering study is $5,000 or $6,000, we might do it. If the engineering study is $300,000,
the level is $30,000.
That's $30,000.
Well, where did that come from? Because
from Progress Engineering.
That's their cost for doing it.
Their cost to come in here and do a study to tell you how much it would cost to bury the power lines.
So one of the other questions we asked y'all to identify is there somebody else besides Progress Energy who could do the study? And if it's only Progress Energy, then we don't have to worry about it, Chris.
That I'm
not sure. Listen, you forwarded me an email from someone who does funding for
power
lines. He lives here local.
He says that there's some grant money available, but that's why I sent it to you.
Well, you sent it to me, and I actually expected it to be on. I didn't print it out for everybody. I expected it to be in our agenda packet. That was the last meeting, and there was never a copy of it. So, yeah. And I don't even—I have to find it in my old email.
Good, because I don't look at it.
I'll try and find it and bring it to the meeting tonight. Maybe okay. Can explain some
function. And then there may be the ability to get a grant to determine to see how much it costs. Not so much a grant to do the $15 million fairy thing, but a grant to do the study.
I mean, I just worried about some of these things. We have to paint a white line to see if we're actually making any progress. You know, because they've been on somebody's agenda for so long. And like I say, you know, it might be worthwhile just to say, look, folks, we're going to have to figure out some way, you know, to prettify our downtown without burning power lines because, you know, it's going to be a $15 million problem.
How much of a deterrent would it be to anybody who were coming in with a new business that one of your requirements is that those lines be buried as part of any new construction and go ahead and get that on the books. Is that something that's going to keep them from coming in? You think that would deter them?
I don't think it. I mean, I know in residential it doesn't really cost you much of anything.
That's why we need to find out what the cost
for commercial, though, if somebody was to stick a new store in the middle, how easy or difficult would it be for one of them to have buried lines? Everybody else said
that. For new construction, I don't think it would be difficult at all. But existing construction, it would be.
I mean, what they do is they'll take that line off and they put a riser down.
Power cable and telephone all has to go.
Yeah.
But we don't have any land right now in the district.
Without taking the sidewalks up from Bill and Linden.
Well, what I'm hearing then is that you'd like us to push forward on the sign ordinance basically as we've done, rather revisiting it here. But they basically push forward once we get the exact measurements and see and get that to you as quickly as possible. And primarily because it would also protect somebody from coming in under the existing ordinance and putting something that we would be stuck with for 10 years.
If it was possible, means honest.
Yes, it is possible to be dogging.
No, that means.
Well, it actually means that y'all would have to have something to us in July so that we could schedule a public hearing, right, which would take place sometime in July and our August meeting, and then we could vote on it.
Now we got a sign.
That is fine. Second thing would be to look at the overlay district or districts with the idea that we would have overlay districts, and but then start small with what would be put in those overlay districts, and both maybe landscaping and usage uses. But we would need a legal opinion as to whether we can limit uses in an overlay district that's different from what our zoning requires.
Well, the land use plans, you know, it's already in there, we're going to bring business up K Avenue, so that would...
That's why we would debate whether you want to have more than one overlay district. I could see maybe three different overlay districts.
Right. To negotiate a whole contract
$2,000 to $3,000 and I haven't seen a whole lot of progress. What's the bottom line?
Here's the man who authorized us to spend $14,000 on 50 comic books.
And they're nice.
Without betting an eye, and he's quibbling over the attorney.
They're nice comic books. Chuck, happy.
And then,
one, two, three, and then the third one. The power lines, what would we be doing about the fire district? Anything?
Well, that was just a thought I had. I mean,
that's something that we're going to try and get some further guidance on whether or not it's needed, if it has to be where it is now, and what its ultimate purpose is.
But for one of the numbers they keep throwing out with power lines, I was like, in my opinion, and you know, everybody's got one of those, it's any new construction, the requirement would be that they go underground. It's boom, right off the top. Yeah.
What it ended up being decided about the facade grants?
We're going to have to figure out somebody to pick that up and carry that. The first thing we need to find out is how long Michelle got with it. And then what remains to be done and see if we have any volunteers to...
I recommend that Bonnet actually ask the principal owners down there, if this were available, would they be interested in it?
I don't know if you ask. You know, I think, I got to tell you very honestly, business owners are tired of being asked anything. We just
Waste your time working on it then.
It's something that benefits the whole town. It'll also benefit the business owners. It's not going to cost them anything, but it's a benefit for the town. Maybe it'll attract business to the town, a new business. I mean, that's something that we have to think about. I mean, just because, you know, one business owner wants us to leave them alone and leave it the way it is, doesn't mean that that's...
Well, no, we are, but
that's
two the,
that's something that's out there.
Well, there's actually three. Don't forget Jerry Hill.
Yeah.
And, right, where he's at.
And we're not just talking about K Avenue in front of the pier.
Yeah.
I mean, there's...
You've got all the way to Ellis Street and all the way to Ellis Street.
Well, right. but we also have a small business zoned area right up here.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
And
we have up there where Fishtails used to be. I mean,
true, they're not in the business district.
Right. But what we're trying to do is, and I mean, one of the things that was envisioned in this plan was that because of the cost of oceanfront property, that would make more sense to extend the business district up K Avenue, west on K Avenue, so that we would open up some opportunities. I kick myself every day I drive by that when the Shanks were selling their property right there, none of us had the force that they couldn't. There was somebody who wanted to build an office building there and put dentists and lawyers in it. And we didn't have enough sense to say, screw the setbacks, you know, do it, you know. And we should have.
And see, that's the advantage of an overlay district.
Right.
Deal exactly with those issues.
That's exactly what. And if if that overlay district came up here, is something that these people ever decided to replace those condos there, we could just say, yeah, good, do it, you know.
Hey, so that's that vacant lot, you know, there on 4th Street. That would be a great place to put some commercial stuff if you had that overlay district.
Okay. Three for sure taxes.
Sign ordinance. I think we should combine the overlay district with the use thing is one task. Okay, that was
correct.
And then
power line
estimates.
I'm not sure where. I think that's kind of more the council's. I mean, we've already heard the presentation.
I guess what we asked for was a one-page summary of the information that you've gotten so far, including the name, and I'll get you the...
No, we can find it, right?
Yeah, and including, you know, is there somebody besides John Elliott that we need to talk to?
Send an email.
So I'd be happy to pursue that, and like I said, if we can find an engineering firm who could do the study other than Progress Energy, and we can do it cheaper, then it's something that, you know, we can go ahead and...
You know, and that's something I'm not sure if we ask is whether they have to do the work, too.
Sure, they have to do the work, but they do a lot of work that's designed by other engineers.
Mm-hmm. And this is really the cost of getting a cost estimate. See, that's
I understand.
$30,000 is for them to walk around and measure the number of
I understand
20 yeah. feet.
Right. But you know, at some point we're going to either have to say we're going to spend the money and find out how much it's going to cost, or we just need to shut up.
We're not going to fish because hey.
That's fine.
Okay.
And we'll have three more tests.
We got
come back to us in office.
Chuck, do you have anything to say? I can't hear a word out of you, buddy.
Come back.
I remember the bar screen when we were talking about how John measured the signs without actually measuring. Mark Crane described something. He said, reminds me of how they used to weigh cattle in the bottom in the old days. They would put a pole across the fence and then hang the cow on one end of the pole, and then they'd find a rock that exactly balanced the cow and hang it on the other end of the pole, and then they'd guess the weight of the rock.
Yeah, looks huge. How many apartments have they got back?
We have five. of them are few. Three of them are maybe about 200 square feet.
I saw some people moving in by backing across the sidewalk. That was odd. Yeah,
I have a few hours
and a ramble
across the sidewalk. I have nothing to do with those. So even though it's in my job description, does not mean, right?